Welcome to From His Heart, where Pastor Jeff Shreve is in his timely series, To the King. If work, family, and self have taken over as your highest priorities, you'll be reminded today that Jesus is the King who is priority number one.
We're in a series, To the King. To the King who is priority number one. That's our message for today. Now, our series has been wrapped around 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, where Paul recounts his own salvation, and then he breaks into a doxology. And 1 Timothy 1:17 is a doxology. It's just extolling the greatness of God. Now, to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be glory and honor forever and ever. The Apostle Paul was so in love with the King. He was so focused on the King. The King was his everything. He said in the letter to the Colossians, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he is before all things. And in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Now watch this. So that he himself might come to have first place in everything. First place in everything. That's where the King is supposed to, that's what he's supposed to have. First place in everything. First place in your life. First place in everything in your life. So does the King really have first place in you? That's the question. Does he have first place in your social life? First place in your dating life? First place in your business life? First place in your marital life, in your family life? How about this one? First place in your financial life, in your finances. Did you know that there is a direct connection between your heart and your wallet? A direct connection. Jesus made that connection in the book of Matthew. He said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There's a connection between the heart and the wallet. And so does the Lord have first place there? You know, the story of God's Old Testament people is a story that's not so unlike our story. They would do well for a while, and then they would get complacent. They would seek God first, their King first. He was the priority, but then they would get complacent, and they often got complacent when God began to bless them. Because the Lord even warned that in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Before they ever went into the promised land, he said, listen, be careful, beware, because when you come into the promised land, and I bless you there, be careful and beware that you don't forget me. Because it's going to be very easy for you to forget who's the one bringing you all these blessings. And then he said, if you forget me, the party's over for you. Because I will back off of you if you refuse to honor me as your King. And so the story of God's Old Testament people is they forgot him. The book of Haggai, if you have your Bible, turn there. It's the third to the last book in the Old Testament. Go to Matthew and take a left, and you're three books in, and then you hit Haggai. Just a little book, second shortest book in the Old Testament, just two chapters, but it's packed full of truth. It says in Haggai chapter 1, verse 1, in the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, that's Bubba, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, while this house lies desolate? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. I want you to notice with me today three admonitions from the Lord. An admonition is an authoritative counsel or a warning. And God sent Haggai the prophet to give his people an authoritative word of warning. And I think it's a word today for every believer in every age to check our hearts to make sure, is the Lord really number one? Is he really priority number one? So the first admonition, God wants us to consider our ways. That's what he says in verse 5, and that's what he says in verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now the Message Bible puts it this way. Take a good hard look at your life. Think it over. That's what consider your ways means. It's like, hey, you need to sober up. You need to look in the mirror. You need to take a good hard look at yourself and the direction you're going and look at your life. Now, the problem that the people had is they went back all jazzed up. Man, I mean, they've been living in Babylon for a long time, and now they get to go back to Jerusalem. I mean, Jerusalem was everything to those folks, and so they went back, but you go back, and it's a horrible place because it had just been decimated. But they go back and they're like, we're going to rebuild, and they're excited. They got a T-shirt. We're rebuilding the temple. But then, you know, you run into snags, and they ran into some snags, and they built the foundation, but then some opposition came and some difficulties came, and they said, well, we got to stop. We can't do this anymore, and so we'll just take a little break, but their little break turned into a 15-year break, and God wasn't pleased at all because he was on the back burner, and God doesn't like the back burner. God is the king of the universe. Doesn't sit well with being on the back burner. That you have bigger fish to fry, that I would have bigger fish to fry when he's the biggest fish ever. Biggest fish by a gazillion. And God says, there's something that you're doing that's more important than I am. Now, before we throw those people under the bus who lived back in the day of Haggai, back in 520 BC, we need to remember something. We're so much just like those people. Hey, you know, it's easy to get our self-centered agenda as the priority, to let that become the priority. That's what happened to them. They went back saying, the Lord is the priority. Building the temple is the priority. Making beautiful again the city of God and the temple of God. That was their priority. But then they hit some difficulties, and they started to drift away from that. And all of a sudden it was, well, building my paneled house, that's the priority. And it's not time to build the house of the Lord. It's time for me to work on my house. That's what God said to him. Oh, it's not time to build my house, but it's time to build your house. And to build your house nicely, because when it says that you dwell in your paneled houses while my house lies in ruins, a paneled house is what they did for palaces. They would take wood, and they would have to work on that wood to get it into panels, and they would put the panels on the house. We're not talking about them building a shanty. We're talking about them building a nice house for themselves, and God's house lies in ruins. Well, the Lord didn't like that at all. But it's easy for us to follow in their footsteps and to get self-centered and selfish and let that take priority. You know, that is the first temptation in the Bible, that when the devil came to Eve and she says, we eat that fruit, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God says, don't eat it, don't touch it, lest you die. And he said, you surely shall not die, for God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And that was the temptation. Hey, I can be like God. Well, that would be awesome to be like God. because then I could be the center and the substance, the sum and the substance, the center and the circumference of everything. And I wouldn't need to depend upon Jehovah God because I could be God. That was the temptation. It wasn't to fall down. It was to be lifted up, to be like God. And you and I deal with that all the time. It's the big I. It's all about me. Life is all about me. And my agenda is what matters. But not only is it easy to let our self-centered agenda take priority, it's easy to make excuses as to why it's not the right time. Well, it's not the right time, he said, verse 2. Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, the time has not come, even the time, for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Haggai, you don't understand. It's not time. It's not time for us to do this. I mean, we're still getting settled here. I know we've been here for 16 years, but we're still just kind of getting settled in. 16, 17 years, something like that. And he said, it's not the right time, huh? It's time for you to dwell in your paneled houses, but it's not time for you to rebuild the house of the Lord. Is that what you're telling me? And they're like, well, yeah, that's kind of what we're telling you. Excuses. It's easy to make excuses as to why it's not the right time for you, for me, to go all out for the Lord. It's easy to make excuses for that. Hey, God wants us to consider our ways. Secondly, God wants us to consider our circumstances, not just our ways, not just the way we are going, but also the way things are going. The way things are going in our lives. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Take a good hard look inside and take a good hard look outside and see what's going on in your circumstances. Look what he says in verse 6. You've sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there's not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. You say, what is he saying there? He's saying this. The one who will not honor God, God won't honor him. If you will not honor God, God will not honor you. These people were not honoring God, and God was not honoring them. And so they would sow a lot as farmers, and they'd reap a small crop. It's like, what's the deal? I should have a lot bigger crop than that. Well, you're not honoring God, so God's not honoring you. Many of you remember the name Eric Little. Eric Little was the Olympic athlete called the Flying Scotsman. He ran in the Olympics in 1924. They made a movie about his life called Chariots of Fire. Do you remember the story of Eric Little? He was supposed to run. His main race was the 100 meters, but they were having the race for the 100 meters on Sunday. And Eric Little was a committed Christian, and he had a personal conviction, I'm not running on Sunday. And so they said, well, that's when the race is. He said, I can't do it. And they said, well, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to get in another race. And so he began to train, but he didn't have much time. He began to train just for a few months for the 400-meter race. Well, that wasn't his race. You know, before the Olympics, he ran his best trial in the 400 meters was 49.6 seconds. Well, that's not chopped liver. I mean, he could win here at 49.6. You know, he'd be the best runner at Pleasant Grove or T-High or Arkansas High or Liberty Isle. He'd be like, hey, you're awesome. But when you're trying to win the Olympics, that's not all that great. And so he was getting ready to run that event, and no one gave him any chance. Somebody handed him a piece of paper right before he ran that event. And it was from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. The one who honors me, him will I honor. The one who honors me, him will I honor. And he ran that race, and God honored him. And his time in that race was 2 seconds faster than he had ever run it before. Listen, any of you that know track and field, you know you don't shave off 2 seconds from your best race. But he did, and he won the gold medal, and he gave all the glory to God. The one who honors me, him will I honor. And the reverse of that is true. The one who doesn't honor me, God says, I won't honor you. And not only does God not honor us when we don't honor him, God will work against those who will not honor him. This is really an eye-opening, frightening thing. We're talking about admonitions here, strong warning. Look what he says in verse 9. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. There we have that name again, the Lord of hosts. Because of my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. God says, you're leaving, letting my house just lie in ruins? You're running to your own house? You're making your own house so nice and so beautiful, your paneled, expensive house, and my house is a mess? And you don't think anything about it? You just say, well, it's not time to work on God's house. I need to work on my house. God says, no, you're not honoring me, I won't honor you. And secondly, you're not honoring me, I'm going to work against you. You know, the Bible says God's opposed to the proud, he gives grace to the humble. And so when you're pridefully saying, well, God, I'm not going to work on your stuff, I'm going to work on my stuff, God says, okay, that's the way you want to be. I'm opposed to you. I'm going to line up against you. It's kind of like football. I'm going to line up against you. Let's see how well you do against me, tough guy. And you work and you work, and God says, you bring it home and I blow it away. I blow it away. I'm not going to bless you. I'm going to work against you, and it's not going to be good for you. Hey, it's serious business to put the king on the back burner of your life. Serious business. You claim to be a Christian and you're not living for the Lord with all your heart. Serious business. Even the church in Ephesus, they were doing so many things right. Revelation chapter 2. And the Lord says, but I have this against you. Verse 4. You've left your first love. Repent and do the deeds you did at first, or I am coming quickly and I'll remove your lampstand from you. I'll take the church out unless you repent, because God is the God who deserves our very, very best. I love the line from Dr. Phil. When Dr. Phil has somebody on his program, he begins to talk to them about what's going on in their lives, and they give their explanation as to why they're doing what they're doing, and he says to them, well, how's that working for you? So this is the Lord saying to his people, in effect, hey, how's it working for you, doing what you're doing, putting your agenda above my agenda? Working on your house and not working on my house. How's that working for you? Me lining up against you. Me blowing away what you are working for. It's not working well at all. You can't afford not to honor the Lord from your wealth. Why? Because you don't want to be in a position where God says, you're not honoring me. I'm going to start blowing away what you have. Well, how can anyone handle that? I can't handle that. You can't handle that. We can't handle that. We want the blessing of God. We don't want the breath of God blowing it away. That's what they were experiencing. And they desperately needed to remember what Solomon had written in Proverbs 3, verse 9. It says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. God says, consider your ways. God says, consider your circumstances. And then thirdly and finally, God says to us, consider our opportunity. We have an opportunity, just as they had an opportunity. And God said to them in verse 8, go up to the mountains, bring wood and rebuild the temple that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. He wasn't pleased with what they were doing. He wasn't being glorified there. But he says, if you'll do that, I'll be pleased, I'll be glorified. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people showed reverence for the Lord. To show reverence for the Lord means that you stand in awe of him. You fear him. You start to recognize that he is a great king. And his name is to be praised. His name is to be feared. That he is to be the agenda, because it's all about him. It's not about us. It's all about him. Consider the opportunity that they had. They heard and they obeyed. Hey, we show reverence for the king when we put him first. when you put him ahead of everything else, when you put him ahead of your paneled houses, when you put him ahead of your agenda, when you put him ahead of what you want to do, and you say, Lord, it's not what I want to do. You say, well, Jesus, not my will, but thine be done. When you do that, you show reverence to God, and God is pleased with that. God is glorified with that, just as he says in his word. Some of us think, well, we could never please the Lord. We could never glorify the Lord. You can if you obey him. You can if you go and do what he says do. We show reverence for the king when we put him first. And we receive a blessing from the king when we put him first. Verse 13, then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people, saying, I am with you, declares the Lord. You're going to do this? They obeyed, and God said, well, I'm with you. And I'm giving you thumbs up, and my smile and my favor and my good pleasure is going to be upon you. I'm not going to blow away what you do anymore. I'm going to start blessing what you do. And your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine, and that you'll be a beacon of hope and light and love and joy to the community. That's what the Lord was saying. Now, I think one of the greatest Christians that I have ever read about, ever had the privilege of meeting, he has gone home to be with the Lord. He died in 2003. But one of the greatest Christians who ever lived was Dr. Bill Bright. Dr. Bill Bright, he got serious in his relationship with the Lord in the late 40s, early 50s. And in 1951, he made a contract with God. And he signed his name on the bottom. He's a businessman. He had a candy company. He's a businessman. And he said, I just know things in terms of business terms. So he made a contract with God, signed his name on the bottom, left everything blank, and said, from this point forward, I am a slave of Jesus Christ. And he gave everything over to the Lord. And he said, 24 hours later, God put in his heart the vision of Campus Crusade for Christ. Campus Crusade for Christ is a gigantic ministry. 25,000 missionaries around the world in 190 countries, they come from Campus Crusade for Christ. Bill Bright wrote that little tract back in the 50s, the Four Spiritual Laws. That's been distributed, sold and distributed 2.5 billion times. It's been all over the place. They had the Jesus film. God has used that guy and did use that guy in such a great way. You know, Campus Crusade for Christ, if you go on and look on their website, that ministry is about a $650 million a year ministry. It is huge. Bill Bright was president, founder and president for 50 years. He never took any money from any of the books that he wrote. He wrote 100 books and booklets. Never took anything from it. His salary as the head of a $650 million organization was $65,000. I mean, it's just unheard of. He knew that everything belonged to God, and he wanted to use his life to glorify the king, and he honored God in everything that he did. He wasn't perfect, but man, I'd like to be like him. Hey, I don't know where you are today, but I want to tell you that the king is worthy. And it starts by giving him your heart. And it continues by every day giving him your heart first place. And you start off every day and you just surrender anew and afresh to him. And you offer yourself as a living sacrifice to him. And all your time and all your talent and your treasure, it just all belongs to him. You hold all things loosely because it's all to the king.
My friend, as we close out the broadcast today, I just want to ask you, have you bowed your heart, your life, your soul to the King? He loves you. He died for you. Your relationship with Jesus begins as you surrender yourself to him. Pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I need you. I know that I'm a sinner and I'm lost. And I can't save myself. But Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. And right now, I surrender my all to you. Come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. Be my Lord and my Savior. And I promise to follow you all the days of my life. My friend, if you'll pray that kind of prayer and mean it, the Lord will come in and your life will never be the same. I would love to hear from you, to know that you're watching, to know that God is using this broadcast to make a difference in your life, to know that you just prayed that prayer to receive Christ as your Savior and Lord. Please take the time to call that toll-free number, write me, email me, let me know what's going on and how we can pray for you. You really are important to God, and you're important to us, and we're here for you.
Today's message, To the King, Who is Priority Number One, is available in the format of your choice when you call 877-777-6171 or go online to fromhisheart.org.
Hey, let's face it. The past 12 months have been very difficult for so many people around the world and around our own country. But hey, that shouldn't be a surprise. Paul told Timothy, but realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. Now, I believe that we're living in the last days. As a matter of fact, I believe we're living in the last of the last days. I believe that Jesus Christ is coming soon. I also believe that God has placed you and me on this earth for such a time as this, so that we can be salt and light to a lost and dying world. And I want your heart and mind to be ready for the struggles that lie ahead by putting on the full armor of God. That's why I'd like you to get my 9-message series called For Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light. I trust this series can give you boldness and confidence as you stand firm in the Lord in these last days. This timely series is available for your gift to the ministry this month. You can just call or go online for details. And hey, thanks for partnering with us as together we proclaim to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord of all.
To get For Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light, in the format of your choice, call 877-777-6171 or go online to fromhisheart.org to make your timely and faithful gift for such a time as this. And thank you for watching From His Heart, the viewer-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, who believes that no matter how badly you may have messed up in life, God still loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. You can find out more when you go to fromhisheart.org. Real truth, real life.